on this week's show. Hightown manager Steve Watt delighted to get through, but frustrated with a tricky tie in the next round.
It's the hardest game we could have pulled for ourselves, but we'll look forward to it. We're a great club, great manager, great team. We've certainly got our hands full going there.
And we hear from two players at once as Folkestone and Victor beat Corinthian in the FA Cup.
2 minutes into the game definitely helped you out.
Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of the Kent Nonny Podcast, an episode which I can pretty much guarantee will be the last to feature a host in their 30s. Unless, of course, we both get sacked and they, whoever they may be, decide Hoadie's not up to it either. A busy, if not overly successful weekend for our clubs in the FA Cup. And we've got three interviews from that for you. And after his comments last week, we'll find out if Matt really was happier for Dover to lose 3-2 than 1-0. I'm John Phipps, who will not be making any bloody toast for a week. And with me, as always, is the man who says that he had a very nice afternoon on Saturday, but then given the expletives I heard from him on his way home, perhaps when he enjoys himself is the one time he's not the nicest man in the world. It's Matt Gerrard, of course. How are you, mate?
How you doing? What have you done with your toast? Have you broken it?
No, I just haven't got to serve any to people, have I? So I've made toast every day since the 17th of May, and I now don't have to make any for a week.
Is it a bit like if you worked in the chocolate factory, you got fed up with chocolate, so you each take your toast yourself?
Not so much. No, not really. I do like it, but I just, you know, when, because the thing is toast is quite a breakfast item, isn't it? And I'm not normally having my breakfast till about 11:30. So by that time, I'm just like, I'll just have a bowl of cereal, just grab whatever. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm all good, mate. I know, I've been well into my 40s. So have you got that impending doom as you hit your 40th, or are you quite happy? 40 is the new 30, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm fine. Life begins at 40, as they always used to say. But no, I'm not that fussed about it. I've been trying to think of the things that I've accomplished during my 30s. I suppose maintaining a relationship for the whole of them is up there with my biggest achievements. I mean, I've bought two properties. I've had, I think it was 10 or 11 different jobs doing all sorts of different things. I've made some great friends, yourself included, Mr. Gerrard. We didn't know each other when I was in my 20s, did we? So, you know, and if someone had said to me 10 years ago that on my 40th birthday, I'd be living in Eastbourne, owning my own bed and breakfast, I never would have believed it. So, do you know what? It's not been a bad year, a bad 10 years. There's been ups and downs along the way, of course, as always, and plenty of rough times. But I'm survived. I'm here. And I'm just looking forward to a nice weekend. I don't really like a fuss, but I'm just looking forward to a nice sort of
You're going away as well, aren't you?
We are, yeah. We're going down to Cornwall for a few days, so that should be nice just to get away from it all. And we're going to go and see my favourite brewery and get myself some beer. So that's my big plan for my big day. So, but the celebrations are starting today. It's Tuesday now, and seeing my mum and dad today for lunch. So that's going to be nice, or very late lunch.
They've got you the New England kit for your birthday.
I would very much doubt it. No, but yeah. So yeah, looking forward to it. It's gonna be good fun, and you'll hear all about it next week. So you know, one of those, isn't it?
Also, yes, and of course, I've read this discussion before. Your birthday is on 9/11, so you remember what you were doing on your 20th birthday.
I certainly do. It's funny as well talking about obviously that, but. I was chatting to one of my colleagues at UEFA about it all over the weekend, and Andorra brought on a chap who was 41, and I was like, that gives me real hope. And then I realised at the same time that Bukayo Saka was 6 days old on 9/11. Obviously 20 years since it happened, and in some days it seems like years and years ago, but in other times it's flown by, hasn't it? But yeah. I'll always remember where I was that day. I mean, it was my birthday. Very subdued meal out that night, I can assure you. But yeah, quite different.
Well, it does seem like to get to 20 seems like a long time, doesn't it? But from 20 to 40, I bet it's just flown by, isn't it?
It really has. And and I suppose the things is, as you get sort of to this age, you don't care as much. I think now when you're in sort of middle age, I suppose, as we are, it doesn't really bother you that much. I suppose when you get to 60, then maybe it starts to hit you. But at 40, I think you just think, well, I'm here, I'm still young, you know, I'm still out and about running, personal training and doing what living my best life. So
might not even be halfway through yet, mate. So make the most of it. So.
Exactly. It's our 181st episode this week. That's quite ironic, because if you put a 9 in there, 1981, of course, being the year I was born, but lying in the fallow ground between a Darts Maximum and a leading late 90s American punk band, it's a tough ask for the number 181. But apparently, there were 181 channels on an older style American TV set, some through an aerial and some through cable. Years ago, that would have seemed like loads, but now we've all got hundreds of channels, and frankly, some of the time, there's still bugger all to watch, isn't there?
That's true. That's true. 181. I wonder why.
Just
run out of. Oh, it's interesting.
Yeah, I've got no idea. American TV system is always American TV is like, because you go there and obviously we all watch a lot of American programs and we all know how it all works. But you go there and it's all just completely different, isn't it? And like, you know, I remember one time I was out there and an episode of Friends was on, and I couldn't get my head around how many adverts they managed to squeeze in. Like, it's like, oh, here's the cold open, as they call it. Oh, we'll have an ad break. Here's the titles. Oh, another ad break. And then we'll have the show. Oh, ad break halfway through. And you just think, well, you know, there's just so many adverts. And yet they must have had such a different culture of how they view TV as to how we do.
Well, they'd eat after each advert break. Probably that's why they're so large.
There's a sweeping generalisation. Oh, we have a listener in America, Miles. I'd like to apologise, Miles, for the comments of my co-host there. We love America and everybody lives there, and we don't think that you are all, quote, large. Honestly, what a man.
Well, I think if you look at probably a survey, they're probably the large. We're probably second.
Oh, yeah. But then there was a survey that once said that we were the best place to cope with a global pandemic. That went well, didn't it?
Yeah, it did go down.
Right, on with the show then. Let's start with an Isthmian League manager who guided his side through in the FA Cup and then saw them paired with the toughest tie they could possibly have got in the next round. Hythe Town saw off Combined Counties Premier Division North side Ascot United on Saturday. Just 1-0, so there's no puns I can make about them galloping through, sadly. Won by a nose, perhaps. But anyway, their reward was a tie away to National League South leaders and fellow Kent club, of course, Dartford. But first of all, I asked Cannons boss Steve what about that win over Ascot.
I thought it was a really good performance. How it was only 1-0, I'll never know. We'd more than enough chances to make it a really easy afternoon for ourselves, but some poor finishing and some good defending from Ascot, to be fair, and it became a little bit tighter than normal, but thankfully, just at the death, Will Godman made a fantastic save in the last kick of the game, so we didn't have to go for a replay on Tuesday night. But just that was the only thing he had to do all day, so really pleased for him to make that save. And as I said, to be in the heart, that's what you want whenever you've got these competitions, is to be in the heart in the next round. And as I said, we got the job done and was over the moon with it.
But then you were in the hat and you pulled out a pretty tough tie, didn't you? But I guess it's exciting to go to Dartford?
Yeah, I suppose you could say that. Yeah, it was the most difficult. I think someone said to me it was the most difficult tie we could have got. Not just in terms of actually team, but in terms of actually seeding and everything. I think it's the hardest game we could have pulled for ourselves. But we'll look forward to it. We're a great club, great manager, great team. We've certainly got our hands full going there, but we'll go there and we'll try and get a result like we always do. As I said, I've got a lot of experienced boys in the squad, so it's not a case of they'll shy away from any challenge. I think they're all looking forward to it. There's a few ex-players in there as well, so no, we're really looking forward to it. It'll be a really tough game, I said, against a top outfit, and obviously favourites to go up, and we'll go there and give it all.
Does being underdogs kind of help in that sort of tie?
I guess it does. You know, you could argue that most games we play this year that teams see us as the favourite to win the game, you could argue, in some cases. So it's not often we're going to be the underdogs, but as I said, it's a game of football. So we've always approached it as a player, no matter who, if we were playing, like when I was at Maidstone, we played league opposition. It was a game of football in the day 11 of the 11, and you go out and do everything you can to win the game, and we'll certainly do that. I certainly won't go to Dartford and shy away from trying to win the fixture. We'll go there and we'll try and be in the heart for the draw on the Monday. So looking forward to it. But as I said, Steve's a top manager, and he's got a fantastic squad there, and it will be a very, very tough fixture.
How much does the FA Cup mean to a club like Hythe? And obviously the last team from the Kent League to reach the FA Cup first round proper was Hythe. So there's obviously a bit of history there at the club. And I guess for a club like Hythe, every penny helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does. You know, particularly what's going on in the pandemic, what's happened in the pandemic as well. I think a lot of clubs, particularly at our level, is looking towards FA Cup, well, FA Cups and Cup runs to boost finances, and it's no different. So in terms of the fixture, it's a great it's for the club financially, obviously. Dartford being as well supported as they are, you expect a good gate there, which is also helpful for the club. And look, if we can win the tie as well, that would even be more money for the club. But it's great for non-league clubs, the FA Cup. And as I always say, there's always one team every year from the lower levels that go on and become a story in the game, and hopefully we can be one of those teams that makes a name for themselves again. Like as you said, they did it I think it was 5 years ago they did it. So here's hoping we can do it again. But we could have given ourselves an easier route to than what we've found ourselves getting today.
You had quite an eventful run in the FA Cup. What all went on at the end of that first game you had?
Oh, the 3-3, I think, nothing I've ever seen in football before. 4 goals in 90 minutes. Incredible, really. You're 2-0 up with 88 minutes gone, and then you're 3-2 down with 95, 96 minutes gone, I think it was, and then we score in the 97th minute. Like, yeah, it's FA Cup for you, you know. And like I said, it's never a dull moment. It certainly wasn't, and that game was a tough fixture against a good side, but luckily enough, we got the job done comfortably in the replay, and obviously got a favourable tie in the last round, and we've been stuck with a biggie this round. So again, look, hopefully we can go and make a name for ourselves, as I said, and be the story of this round, if you like. But we're certainly going to have to be at our best to get anything from that game.
And of course, you've got a couple of league games before then, and it's been an up and down start for you. Just the one win from your three so far. So I guess you'll be keen to get some more points on the board before the FA Cup.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's paramount. I mean, obviously, it's a great tie in seeing it today, but my mind's fully focused on East Grinstead on Saturday. You know, we go down there and hopefully come out and get 3 points, and then you've got to sit and bonnet home on Tuesday. So I'll be looking for 6 points out of the next two fixtures anyway before we even can think about the FA Cup. But yeah, it's been a different start. Look, it's been a start, if you like, that's been riddled with mistakes, you know, which cost us games. You know, I don't think we've played too badly in all the games. I didn't think we were great against Ramsgate. Didn't play particularly well and deserved to get beat, but again there was a couple of mistakes in that game that cost us goals. And at any level, if you're giving teams goals, you're it's an uphill battle, you know. So if we can eradicate those mistakes, I mean, if you just eradicate one mistake, for example, in the first game against Coventry, we've actually lost one game in six. So, although the league says it's 1-1 and 3 and lost 2, 1-1, lost 2 and 3, you're a mistake away from a goalkeeper from only losing one game. So, 6 games we've lost 2, and as I say, I think it's been a different start to the season, but I'm sure that'll smooth things out. And like I said, we went to VCD and we went down to 10 men and managed to turn that game around from being 1-0 down and 1-2-1. So, the boys' performances have been good, but not consistent enough for my liking. It's something that we've spoken about, and to get that consistency back, and I'm fully expecting it to go onwards and upwards from this weekend.
I know it's very early days, but do you think it looks like a strong division this year? Because looking at some of the results and some of the players that are knocking about, it looks like it's going to be a tough league, the Isthmian South East.
I'd say it's the strongest I've ever seen it. There's been a lot of investment in squads around the league. Not just normally, maybe three teams, four teams. You could name 8 or 9 teams. You can see that's heavily invested in the squad this season. So it's definitely tough. You know, I mean, obviously my budget was reduced this season because of the pandemic, so it made things tougher my side. But I've got a good loyal group of boys that have decided to stay together and play for each other and myself and the football club. So I'm hoping that will. If you like, work in our favour as the season goes on. It's because I don't need to bed any new players in, really. Everyone knows what's expected. Everyone knows what their jobs are. So I'm hoping as the season goes on that will come to the forefront. But yeah, I think I've had many conversations. I was speaking to Nick at VCD after we played them and saying that I think it'll be tight at the top, all over. You know, I don't think it will be like previous seasons where one team completely falls away. Or I think it'll be tight at the bottom. I think it'll be tight terms of playoffs and tight at the top. I think it's going to be that type of season where just everyone's going to beat everyone, you know. And I think you've seen that so far. You've seen some results of some teams getting well beaten one week and then losing the next week, and I think that's going to be the pattern of the season ahead. But look, what an exciting time for this division. And as you said, when you've got so many Kent clubs in it as well, it makes for great games and obviously great atmospheres.
And where are you hoping to be come the end of all of this?
Oh, playoffs, a bit of it. That's where I want to be. I've never taken over a job and tried to play down anything. I want to be in the playoffs. You know, I wouldn't have came to Hythe. I wouldn't have stayed here if I didn't think that was possible. Obviously, we've not started like we want to start, but it's not how you start that matters. It's how you finish. And as I said, if we can get the consistency where we need it to be, I believe we should be up there and then around it. But as I said, I've always been a player, a manager, a coach that's ambitious and wants to push myself and everyone around me to achieve things, and that's what we'll do this year again. We'll look to get the playoffs and hopefully being around it when it comes to the business end of the season, and hopefully that'll lead to some success.
And just finally, obviously you pulled Dartford out in the cup today, but I bet there's another National League South club you wouldn't have minded playing. And what a start to the season for your old club, Maidstone.
Oh, great start. Yeah, we also played them in pre-season, and it was just after they had their obviously COVID problems, so a good shout to Terry and Hack at the game there. And but they've got a fantastic squad there. There's been some great signings, and it's great to see the club doing well again. You know, obviously it's had some tough times in the past few years, and as I said, I did have a laughing joke. A couple of boys said it'd be nice to go down to Gallagher away in this tie, you know, which would have been a great day out for everyone, because I've got half the squad, I think, that we had there. But no, listen, it's great to see him up there, and I wish the club nothing but success. And as I said, it's great to have a look every week, and you're seeing them winning every week now. They haven't lost a game so far, won 4 out of 5. So they always keep an eye on Mason scores, always have done. And it's brilliant to see him up the right end of the table, and looks like it'll be a very successful season for the club.
He's in good form there, Matt. Happy to get through in the cup, but he knows that it's been a disappointing start in the league, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think they've had some iffy results. They've got quite an experienced squad there, as he mentioned, you know, a lot of players who he's worked with and played with before. So I'm quite surprised. I expect them to be up there, and I'm sure he knows what's gone wrong in the league. And he'll try and rectify that. But I have to say, you know, getting through the cup, I presume, you know, the most important thing, they're in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. For finances and probably, you know, the achievements he's got to make during the season, that's probably a minimum he's got to do, and he's got that. And he'll go again. I'm pleased that, you know, he was critical of his goalkeeper before, but saved him in there. So I'm pleased for Will Godwin. I think he's quite a decent keeper. So, yeah, all in all, again, I don't know how you feel about Dartford. You might make some money on the gate, but the chance of getting through could be a bit of an issue, I would have thought.
I'd imagine for him, you know, they'd have loved to get an easier tie this time and then get through and you know, get more money in the coffers and then maybe take on a Dartford. But to get Dartford the first time that you could possibly play them is an absolute shocker, isn't it?
Yeah, lucky Dartford, really. I think I read some of the Slough manager things. Oh, we look forward to drawing Dartford in the cup. So they got it from there. Yeah, it's away as well. At home, you know, you can cause some shocks. Bringing them down to that sort of, you know, on your home pitch, but away it's going to be tough. But Steve Watt will have them organised. You know, they've got some experienced players, so it's not going to overawe them. It's just a tough draw against the side who are doing absolutely brilliant this season.
Yeah, I mean, it is the luck of the draw, isn't it? And, you know, when so few Kent sides, as we'll discuss shortly, have gone through, it is a real shame that you look at it and you see, oh, look at that. It could have been so much better for Hythe. But, you know, anything can happen in the cup, and who's to say how Dartford are going to approach this game? Because Dartford won a cup run. Let's not beat about the bush. But Dartford flying high in the league, they might look at it and think, well, we could rest a couple of players here and there, and then there's an opportunity for Hythe, who will go there with no pressure on them whatsoever, and a manager who knows about being part of a team that can cause an upset in the cup.
Yeah, I think he made his debut in the cup for Chelsea, so he's got a bit of FA Cup pedigree.
He did.
You know, it means a lot to him, I think, on that one. Yeah, Dartford would be. He spoke to Steve King, they've got a big squad, so he will freshen the squad up, I'm sure, in these situations. So, yeah, it's a tough one, but I'm sure that, you know, they got through to the second qualifying round. You know, the days of, you know, it's gonna, you know, it'll be a major shock if they get through, but they'll go there and see what they can do. But I'm pleased they got through anyway. Ascot was a tricky tie. They definitely didn't want to replay up there, but you know, they've got some experienced players. James Rogers going back to there, Tom Winter going back there. I think Darren Aldaker might have had a spell there as well. Franny Collins been there. So, you know, a solid spine of a team. So, and again, that experience of Rogers, Winter and Doe will set them in good stead, I'm sure. So strange things have happened, but it will be a tough tie, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it's interesting, one for Hythe, isn't it? Because they're a team, and he said to me there, we want to be in the playoffs. There's no two ways about it. But you look at some of the other clubs and the spending that they have made, and I don't know what Hythe's budget is, but from chatting to Steve, I get the feeling it's nowhere near the biggest in the league. Even though they've got experienced players who want to play for the manager, who's obviously their friend as well, they've got good players there. But you know, competing at the top of that league this season is going to be tough, isn't it? For everyone,
like at every level, I think people are throwing money at it. You know, rightfully or wrongly, who think they can get out of this division where they are. Does it help? There's so many Kent Gut derbies. I've got absolutely no idea. But you know, winning the home game has got to be key for them. Key, they got that win on Saturday at home in the league, but they played two home games and lost two. So, and they've won away from home. So maybe away from home could sort them out for a bit. But yeah, it's a tough old division with sides probably spending a bit of money. People like Jamie Coyle, who was probably with him before, he's probably his partner at Maidstone. He left an assistant manager's role to go and play on the pitch at Ramsgate, so from Margate. So that probably shows what sort of money that's going around, and Ramsgate's going to be bringing a lot of players in who've played at a higher level. So it's going to be tough. And there's only a certain amount of players in the South East that can go round on this. And, you know, don't begrudge a player at all. If he can get more money at A rather than B, you know, he's going to take it, because I'll probably do exactly the same.
Yes, exactly. So, a Kent derby in the next round when Hythe travelled to Dartford, but there was also a Kent derby in the last round, and it turned out to be an absolute classic as Folkestone Invicta beat Corinthian 3-2. After the game, Matt managed a rarity and managed to get players from both sides to do an interview together. So here are the combined efforts of Corinthian goalscorer Oscar Housego and Invicta goalkeeper Tim Roberts.
It's not often we get two players from opposing sides to do an interview, so appreciate Tim and Oscar. Oscar from Corinthian, Tim Roberts from Folkestone Invicta. We'll start with you, Oscar. Especially disappointed to go out of the FA Cup. You had a very good game in our opinion, you probably were the best player on the pitch.
Yeah, just really disappointed in the result. Performance levels were pretty good. Sort of, say against a good Folkestone side, but sort of, certainly they knew they were in a game.
What do you think of your own performance, firstly? Got a goal, nearly lobbed this man from 40 yards as well?
Yeah, I played well, to be fair. Yeah, best I've played in a few weeks. At the end of the day, in the FA Cup, it's pretty irrelevant who plays well, who doesn't. It's results, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you seem a little bit disappointed, I suppose. You know, the cup competition, yeah. Going out of the cup is hurting, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Especially when it was such an even game. I think you'd admit it yourself. Like, it was, either team could have happily, easily won the game. We probably had a few more chances than you did, I thought. Yeah, just a tough one to take because I thought we played well.
For you, Tim, we're going to have to start with the first 2 minutes.
We can't start with that.
Yeah, you handled the ball outside the penalty area. We were discussing on the sidelines what is the law on that. Seems to be the consensus that you haven't stopped a goal-scoring opportunity. Firstly, what's going through your mind when the referee's flagged it up?
I think the worst situation. But, I mean, like you said, I don't think they would have scored from it. And that's just my opinion. Might have opinions on it, but you just got hope for the best, and yeah, basically that's what I did. And I got, I was lucky to get a yellow card, I think. And
did you think it was going to be red?
I thought it was going to go yellow, but I thought at the back of my mind it could potentially be red, because you never know, because I see it from a completely different angle to the ref and the lino. So.
Did you just misjudge the ball, or?
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying to Oscar, that we used a slightly different ball, which is slightly heavier, so when the ball bounces at the moment on that pitch, it flew up, and I misjudged it because of that, and yeah, I look like an absolute idiot after that, but luckily I was still on the pitch, and yeah, just still on the pitch, basically.
It's again, our consensus, if that had been, I know it was on 2 minutes or whatever it was, if that was 25, 30 minutes, it might not have gone in your favour. Is that in the back of the referee's mind, do you think?
I agree. I think any time the ref's got to make a decision in the first few minutes, it's usually the better outcome, I'd say. So if it had been later in the game, potentially it could have been a red, but yeah, luckily I was still on the pitch, and I didn't have the best of the games today, but luckily I was on the pitch to kind of help the boys, so yeah.
your feeling about that, Oscar? Did you think it was a goal scored opportunity? Because the fullback was running in behind.
Yeah, my thing is our fullback's probably in behind you. If you, as you did, as you were saying, you misjudged it, if it goes over your head, surely it falls to our fullback, no?
Yeah, that was the consensus, yeah. But that's, it's a game of opinions because you've got everybody thinks that, yeah. But my feeling is that it was too early. He wasn't going to make that decision.
I think 2 minutes into the game definitely helped you out.
I agree.
You know you're in for a tough game this afternoon. It was, from a personal point of view, watching all the spectators, it was a cracking game.
It was. I think Corinthians deserved more from the game. I think unlucky to get a man sent off. I think the consensus from the folks inside, it was a red. I think Corinthians would probably say it wasn't. So it's the same with the with my handball. I think folks, you might have said it was only a yellow, but with Corinthians you probably would have said it
was. And that's why we love football, I suppose.
Yeah. It's a game of opinions. So.
Well, you're in the hat for the next round, of course, the FA Cup. A big competition. Neil Cuggley's, you know, as he said, he's been from Fulham and Watford, and he'd love to take Folkestone again to the first round. So that's the aim, I presume.
Yeah, I think with us, we usually go out quite early to teams we underestimate, and we nearly underestimated the Corinthians today, and they played very well, and I hope you do well in the league. But yeah, looking forward to the next round of the Cup, and we tend to up our game against sort of the higher teams, which is really bad, but hopefully we can put a better performance in the next round and we can get to the sort of TV rounds. That'd be amazing this year.
Expectations in the league as well, again, playoffs is minimum, is it?
I think so. I think our goal is to try and win the league. I think that's got to be the main goal, and if you can get those playoffs as well, it's a kind of little backup. If you don't win the league, it's going to be a tight year, a tight season. I think Kingston have got a big budget, and there's always sort of the Worthings and the other teams who are up there as well. So I think our goal is to win the league. If we can get in the playoffs as well, that'd be great.
And for you, Oscar, you know, playing from the Skeffel into the ISPI in the South East Division, how have you found that, the jump up?
First three games, all very competitive. All three games, you probably could have won three, lost three, drawn three. They've been that tight. Games, very fine margins. 1-1, drew one, lost one. Tough weekend against Ashford and Cray over the three days. Very disappointed to come away with just the 1 point. Felt as like the squad, there was a lot more points there to be had against both teams that would fancy themselves right at the top of the league. It's obviously still learning about the league.
What's the main differences, have you found?
Just the competitiveness, to be honest. And that's like, yeah, no easy rides. Everything's super competitive, as in like first, seconds. Played at a bit of a quicker tempo, but other than that, it's not.
Football's football at the end of the day.
It's 11 men versus 11 men.
I mean, yeah, so, but it can only improve your performances. And as I say, I think Neil Cuggley was particularly praising of you today, and he was your manager. So, good day for you personally, but out of the cup.
Yeah, no, tough one to take, just because, as I said, we did play that well. Back to the league next weekend, and hopefully 3 points.
Well, appreciate your time, guys. Tim, you can probably do the lottery tonight. I think you got away with one there. But there you go. Well done. Good luck in the next round.
Thank you very much. Yeah, pleasure.
Well, first of all, Matt, great effort in getting that done. It sounds to me like it was a keenly fought encounter that could easily have gone either way, not least had Tim Roberts been sent off in the second minute.
Yeah, that's the big sticking point. And I think I said in the interview there, when we discussed it at the ground, Corinthian, I have to say, looked after me very well. Michael Golding, great to see everybody. Great. Lovely ground, lovely, you know, location, leafy, isn't it? And I really enjoyed myself there, yeah. I think it was too, you know, we've seen it before. The referee, he handled the ball outside the area too early. If he'd done it after 20 minutes, I'm sure he would have gone. And we were trying to, I don't actually, you know, maybe a football commentator, but some of these, you don't know, I don't actually know the law on this. It's just basically a long ball forward, players coming on the right-hand side, and if he doesn't handle the ball or heads the ball or misses the ball, a guy is in behind to run on and put it in the empty net. So I can see from that how the referee says he's not assuming it's going to be a... He's got to assume the bloke's not going to get in and score. It's beyond me. But any other part from the first probably 10 minutes, I think that's a red card. And you've got to feel for Corinthians from it, because they battled really well. And it was an absolute cracking game. But I think it could have been a different story if the goalie had gone. And I think Tim Roberts was, when we said in the interview, he should have done the lottery. I think he realised as well that he got away with one.
I guess the question is, what sort of handball was it? Did he stick his hand out, or did it hit him? Or
no, he sort of flapped the ball away, from what I can remember, and sort of then straight away the linesman flagged. Then he'd come outside the area. It's not where he's sort of come rushing out and sort of palmed it away. I think he may have misjudged the bounce on the pitch. Well, and he mentioned about the ball in there, so he may have misjudged it. But he did handle the ball outside the area. But what is the law? If he hadn't handled it, if he tried to head it and missed it, or he came off his shoulder or whatever, the guy was in.
Hmm.
So consensus being there, I was surprised he didn't go. Once you see that, and the player in behind, I thought he was going to go, but maybe too early doors.
Yeah. The rest of the game, though, I mean, obviously, 5 goals. You can't complain too much about that. And Corinthian gave a real good account of themselves, obviously, against the folks inside who don't concede a lot of goals. So they put up a really good fight, Corinthian.
Yeah, they did. And Housegar, you mentioned him to me beforehand to look at, and he was probably the best player on the pitch. Made a little in the number 10 role, made some space, scored a penalty, nearly audaciously lobbed the goalkeeper from 40 yards. They had chances. Then they had the sending off. And that sort of knocked the sails out of them a little bit. Again, controversy with the sending off. They didn't seem to think it was. The linesman said it's going to be yellow, and the referee did a red. But yeah, I was impressed with them. Good. Again, people say they're direct. You know my opinion on direct football. I think you can play in the final third, and they did play that. And they caused Folkestone some real problems. Getting, you know, with some really good play, and they scored a couple. The second goal was excellent. Good running from the midfielder, getting forward. Yeah, Folkestone knew they were in a tie. And to the point of when it was 11 against 11, I maybe thought it could go either way. But just knocked the stuffing out of it. They had a couple of chances near the end as well, but knocked the stuffing out of him. But a cracking tie. Both sides played well. Folkestone looked dangerous. Yusuf and Smith didn't have their best games, but you can see they're going to be a threat running in behind. Paxman, or, you know, I think he's a good player. Yeah, it was entertainment wise. I haven't found out what the gate was, but I think it was decent. They should have had an afternoon's entertainment, because I really, really enjoyed myself. And I said, the fifth game I've seen this season, and easily the best game I've seen this season already. So,
I suppose it's hard for you to gauge, because you haven't seen any of the teams they're up against. But do you think Corinthian have got enough to be around mid table in their league, and Folkestone to be near the top of theirs?
I think Corinthian would have no problems in their division to be mid-table, maybe scoring goals, maybe need a, you know, when the chance is 40, because, you know, they play the wing-backs, and wing-backs are getting forward really well. So it's just finding that striker, which is, you know, Housegar is good, and they had a willing runner at the top. I can't remember, I haven't got my notes in anything there, but scoring goals could be an issue if it's not coming from Housegar or players like that. But they looked a good outfit. Folkestone, Neil Cugley wasn't particularly pleased with the performance, but they're pleased they were in the hat. Again, they've got some good players, good ball players in midfield. Ronnie Dolan scored a good goal. The thing is about Folkestone, they've got players who played together for a long time, so they know how they work. And Paxman scored a good goal. So, you don't, knowing the South East division, I feel shrinking, you know, I think their aim is to finish fifth and bottom, so don't in the playoffs. They won't have any issues at all there, from what I've seen. And I probably, you know, the Gaydon Farm's probably a tough place to go as well, particularly. I would have thought with the winter months come in, you know, teams turning up there, they'll make that a bit of a fortress. Folkestone's Folkestone. Neil Cugley said they maybe got away with one, but they're through in the next round. That's the most important thing.
Absolutely. Elsewhere in the FA Cup, scaffold interest came to an end with all four of the sides involved failing to even score a goal. The result that made me sit up the most was Chatham being on the end of a 5-0 defeat at Abbey Rangers of the Combined Counties League. While Sheppey were beaten 1-0 at home by Isthmian East South Central side Marlow. The sickener for us, and probably for both of those clubs, is that when the draw was made, Abbey Rangers got Marlow. So had those two won, what a tie that would have been, Chatham against Sheppey, but it wasn't to be. Kennington also knocked out 3-0 at home to Carl Shorten. And then on Sunday, Erith and Belvedere lost 4-0 in their tie with Chertsey. A real shame that no scaffold side made it through this far. But the FA VAR starts on Saturday, so So fingers crossed in that, and we'll discuss those fixtures shortly. Elsewhere in the FA Cup at the weekend, Cray Wanderers on the end of an upset as they were beaten 3-1 at home by Sutton Common Rovers. Ramsgate also went out 4-2 at Harrow Borough. VCD were beaten 5-1 at Jersey Bulls, also of the Combined Counties League. But Phoenix Sports made it through as they beat Chipstead 2-1. There were also a number of teams who drew their ties, meaning replays on Tuesday night and one on Wednesday. But due to a number of factors, none of those replays have happened yet. So it's now over to me later in time with the results of those games on Tuesday.
Well, yes, thanks, John. Just two games to report on from Tuesday night's replays. A great result for Margate, who won 4-2 away to Tame United. Jake Embry with a hat-trick, including one goal, which I understand was from 40 yards. So very, very well done to him. Their reward is a trip to Merstham in the next round. So a tie that Jason Wanderers will no doubt be thinking they've got a chance of getting through in that one. Whitstable Town, though, beaten at Leatherhead. So their FA Cup run has come to an end. So frustrating for them. And I'm sure Lloyd Blackman will be desperate to concentrate on the league as of, say, starting this weekend. You'll hear about that shortly. I'd just like to add quickly that since recording the show and editing it, Matt Gerrard is the nicest man in the world. So thank you, Matt. Thank you very much. Back to you.
The Kent ties, we definitely know in the next round as of Tuesday lunchtime. As we've already heard, Dartford against Hightown. Folkestone are away to Ashford Town of Middlesex. Carshalton against Ebbsfleet, could have been Kennington. Chichester against Maidstone. Phoenix will be at home to the Red Hill or Sevenoaks for their replay on Wednesday. Hayes and Yedding United is the destination for Tunbridge Angels. And Welling are also at home to a side who beat a Kent team as they will take on Harrow Borough. That's not a great draw for anyone, really, is it, Matt?
No, there's nothing. Well, they're probably, you know, no disrespect to Hyde. Dartford would be very happy with their tribe. Everybody else. Chichester, who got Chichester? Was it Maidstone?
Maidstone at Chichester. I mean, Chichester haven't had a great start to the season. Obviously, they had that big run a couple of years ago. I suppose Phoenix Sports against potentially Sevenoaks is a nice tie, isn't it?
Yeah, Ebbsfleet. They get Carshalton. Who got Carshalton? Ebbsfleet.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a tough one as well, away from home. Yeah. Yeah, to be honest, John, I thought we'd have more through going through. So I'm a little bit disappointed, really. You expect that, you know, you're looking on the table, the three Conference South sides probably should get through because they've avoided anybody in their own division, which is probably half the battle in this. Now, you know, hopefully the likes of Sevenoaks can maybe go forward. Can they go forward and try and get it? Margate, late equaliser. What could that do for their confidence? They're desperate for a cut run at Hartsdown Park. Yeah, but I thought we'd have more. So I'm a little bit disappointed, to be honest.
Yeah, it was a bit of a blow on Saturday, to be honest. But yeah, disappointing.
I suppose when you think about it, when we normally get to the sort of the fourth qualifier round, we probably only have about four or five anyway. So maybe we get more who go in the second and third qualifier round. So losing quite a few in the first qualifier round, is a little bit disappointing. But you know, maybe, you know, everybody's. You know, there's no easy games. A silly thing to say. Cliche number 456, I've mentioned. But it is, isn't it? You know, every side wants to get to the first round and earn that little bit of money.
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, I remember last year, obviously, Sheppey United beat Welling and then got another round. So, you know, it's disappointing that no one from the scaffold made it through. But there you go. Into the National League South, as we're talking about their teams coming into the Cup and some decent results at the weekend. But Dartford, great result for them, continuing their brilliant starts to the season. They won 3-1 at Bath City. Maidstone won by the same score at Oxford to continue their excellent start. Draws for Tunbridge Angels at home to Hampton Richmond and Welling United at home to Slough Town. First defeat of the season for Ebbsfleet as they're beaten at home by Havant and Waterlooville. Probably a clash of two big spenders there, Matt, and a disappointing one for Ebbsfleet.
Yeah, 2-0 down after, 5 minutes, I think it was, yeah. Half a few ex-Dover players in the Havant team. You know what, Havant are going to be strong, organised, physical. I think reading between the lines from listening on the radio and articles online, you know, Paul Doswell seems to get in the face of Dennis Katrieb, and there was little sort of things that he couldn't mention if it was, I don't know, he didn't want to go into details with the sort of spat they had. So I don't know if that'll go any further. Yeah, well, Havant are going to be up there. Disappointing for Ebbsfleet. We know they can play football and play football teams off the park. It's maybe when it gets a little bit more physical, would that be their undoing? So yeah, but they'll have to bounce back. I don't think they've got a home game in a while, have they, in the league? So, so travel on there. But you know, they've got to be physical and strong against some of these sides. And unfortunately, they didn't seem to get out of the tracks against Havant, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah, early days, of course, five games played, or four, or in Hungerford's case, three. But Dartford top with 15 points, Maidstone second with 13. So we'll take that at the moment. We'll take that at the end of the season, with Ebbsfleet also in a playoff spot as well. This weekend, Dartford are at home to Tunbridge Angels, a nice Kent derby there. Maidstone at home to Concord. Ebbsfleet go to Hampton and Richmond. And Welling don't have a game, so it must be their weekend to be the odd team out. They got my birthday off as well. Isn't that nice for them? I'm sure that's their that's their main motivation. The National League itself then. Matt, you said last week, I'd be happy if we lost 4-3 rather than 1-0. You lost 3-2. How are you feeling?
We scored a couple of cracking goals.
Right.
That's good. So, yeah, a couple of absolute worldies, which is good to see. Then we conceded two not so good ones, and it's annoying, isn't it? Now, maybe that's a silly comment to say that we'd rather, but we didn't look like scoring in the first two, and we scored two worldies now. Now we want to start scoring some scrappy ones. The disappointing is we've been 1-0 up and 2-1 up, and maybe we haven't got the nous or the experience to see games out from there. And you know, it's Altrincham, good, strong physical outfit, maybe bullied us at the end, and a late penalty. So the positives that we scored two. The other positive, we've got Chesterfield on Saturday. So, well, again, I don't know what to say at the moment. I just want to get off minus 12, mate. Then I'll be happy. I'll ring you when we get off minus 12. Then I won't swear.
Excellent. Bromley played your mates Chesterfield at the weekend. 2-2 draw. A bit fiery late equaliser for Bromley. I understand there was a bit of afters as well. So, but a brilliant result for Bromley.
I didn't hear that. What was the afters? What?
I haven't seen exactly, but there was a comment from someone in the Chesterfield camp saying that they weren't particularly happy with the conduct of someone on the bench. I think after the late equaliser, there may well have been some sort of issues, shall we say, with over exuberant celebrations.
Can't celebrate in the 96th minute.
When can you?
When can you? So yeah, if it's against you, but that's what it is. But Chesterfield have spent a lot of money, so they should be walking this league. So I don't think they're top, aren't they, the second. So that's a cracking result for Bromley. Bromley went there, showed it there. Michael Cheek, out of all the players, all the strikers that these in this league. You probably don't want to take Michael Cheek above all of them because he scores goals. Mm. You know, he scored a penalty and he's got one on the back post, tapped it in from 6 yards. So I'm so surprised, I've said this before, why nobody's tried to pick him up. These teams who are spending money like it's going out of fashion, because you've got guaranteed 20, 25 goals a season there, and that can make the difference against the other side who's spending loads of money you're trying to beat.
Yes. Mark Cousins apparently had a very good game there as well for Bromley with his number of good saves.
That's a great result because, you know, Chesterfield, they're going to be up there. I expect them to probably, you know, beat Dover at the weekend. Dover normally play well against the bigger outfits. And I don't think Chesterfield have actually ever beaten Dover in the four times they've played. So we'll use that to our advantage. But yeah, it's a good result there because Chesterfield will definitely be up there.
Yeah, we're looking at the results on Saturday in the National League. It's like the bloody scaffold. You take out Boreham Wood drawing 0-0 and Yeovil beating Halifax 1-0. You've got a 3-2, 3-2-2s, a 3-3 and 3-4-3s and a 3-2. I mean, that's incredible. What a great goal-laden start to the season in the National League. Two full programmes of fixtures before we speak to you next. On Saturday, as Matt has mentioned a couple of times, at home to Chesterfield. He's really looking forward to that one. While Bromley are at home to Boreham Wood. And then on Tuesday evening, Bromley are on the road to Woking. And Matt's lot are on the road to Eastleigh, so it doesn't get any easier, does it?
No, let me go. No. We need to get off minus 12, John. I hate, you know what? Minus 12 is doing my head in. I don't like minus 12. It doesn't. So basically, till we get off minus 12, I can cheer myself up. But till we don't, I'm going to be miserable.
Obviously, Eastleigh not had a great start. They've only got 1 point from their three games so far. So you might, and obviously Andy hasn't tied his former club, you might have a little bit going for you down there, but... It, like you say, it's a psychological hurdle, isn't it?
Yeah, we've just got to get off minus 12.
Because the thing is, if you weren't on minus 12, you wouldn't be bottom. And I guess that's the hard thing to take.
That's the case either.
Yeah.
So, but I'm reading a book at the moment, a guy about the Championship, and he said that once Sheffield Wednesday, because I thought Sheffield Wednesday had 12 points, but they had it half, so they only had 6 in the end.
Still got relegated.
Yeah, exactly. But he was talking about the psychological. They pay, as soon as you get back to zero, you've paid your debt off and you can move on. You know, Dover haven't paid their debt off until at least game eight at this rate, isn't it? If they win the next four. So that's what we've got to do. So, but our only hope is that, you know, we scored two there and we were, you know, eventually we'll get bigger, better and more organised and more streetwise to this division. But yes, I said last week, I don't mind if we lose 3-2. If we can house up, you can beat that out. I'll wait to a 0-0 on Saturday to get off minus 12. I'll be very happy.
Excellent. We'll just run through the fixtures in the Isthmian League over the weekend. Again, two full programmes of fixtures for our Isthmian League side. So starting in the Premier Division on Saturday, Folkestone Victor are at home to Horsham. Margate are at home to Leatherhead. And Cray Wanderers play on Sunday as they host Potter's Bar. And then on Tuesday night, Cray Wanderers go to Corinthian Casuals, Folkestone go to East Thurrock United, and Margate go to Hornchurch. So all three of those teams are away on Tuesday night and all at home over the weekend. So Cray Wanderers, I guess, will be desperate to bounce back after three defeats in a row, Matt.
Yeah, so I didn't actually know that Sutton Cumber Rovers are actually in Sutton and they play at Gander Green Lane. Did you know that?
I didn't. I knew they were in Sutton, but I didn't realise that they played on the hallowed turf of Gander Green Lane.
They're going to ruin that pitch, then, aren't they? All the money they spent on it. So, I think the opening weeks of the season have seemed a distance in the past for Cray. Yeah, they need to pick up some results there. They got Saturday? Sunday they're playing.
Sunday they're home to Potter's Bar.
Sunday, yeah. So, yeah, they need to get back on the horse, so to speak. Yeah. So it's a mixed bag after being such a great start to the season. Now you're thinking a little bit mixed bag.
Yes, absolutely. Welling United are actually playing at the weekend, I've just discovered. They're playing Hanwell Town in the London County Cup first round. That's quite the fixture that I wasn't expecting to be speaking about. Anyway, Isthmian League South East at the weekend. Corinthian are at home to Sittingbourne. As we heard from Steve Watt earlier, his Hythe Town side go to face East Grinstead. It's Faversham against Cray Valley. Herne Bay are at home to Phoenix Sports. Whitstable go to bottom of the table, Lancing. Ramsgate are at home to Chichester. Seven Oaks against Hastings United, BCD at home to Hayward Heath, and Whitehawk against Ashford. And then on Tuesday evening, Ashford against Herne Bay, Corinthian at home to Three Bridges. It's East Grinstead against Cray Valley, Hythe against Sittingbourne, Phoenix against Seven Oaks Town, which could very well be a warm-up for their FA Cup tie the following Saturday if Seven Oaks win their replay. Ramsgate against Faversham, and Whitstable at home to VCD Athletic. So some good games there, Matt. Plenty of derbies, aren't there? And that's always the good thing.
Yeah, Ashford against Herne Bay. It's a good test for Herne Bay against Ashford. I think you think they should have more points on the board. Ramsgate against Faversham as well. Some cracking games. Again, I don't know whether they started playing midweek again. I don't know if this is the start of a bit of a run, but it's some cracking games there. I'll be looking out. I'm expecting to see how the sides get on. And maybe by this time next week or next Wednesday when we do the next pod, we might see the league maybe a little bit transformed. Two games in 3 days might open up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that there's fiction, obviously, with the cup being in the way at the moment and everything like that. But it is always a frustration for me, I suppose, that these fixtures will be played on the same night as the Champions League night. You know, why not play those fixtures late a couple of weeks afterwards or next week when there's no Champions League, and you can get those games in, and then there won't be the football on the telly to try and tempt people in. I don't understand.
Yeah, because the following week, I was just looking ahead, there's more midweek fixtures as well. Yeah, they probably could sort that out a little bit. So yeah, games coming thick and fast. We'll definitely know
a bit more
in this division from there. But I'm still pretty confident that one of our Kent sides will win that division. Couldn't tell you who, but one of them will be lifting the trophy come the end of the season.
Excellent. Into the scaffold then, and there were Premier Division fixtures over the weekend as well as the FA Cup, obviously. Goals galore, as you would expect. Canterbury City 2, Beersted 1. Tunbridge Wells were 4-1 winners at Fisher. It was Glebe 4, Tower Hamlets 0. Holmesdale 3, Crowborough Athletic 1. Punjab 3, Irith Town 4. Rustall 0, Hollands and Blair 5, and Wellington 0, Lordswood 1. So some goals galore, as always, as I just said there, Matt. But Glebe looking ominously good at the start of the season.
Yeah, I think that Jamie, he's got 10 goals already, Jamie Ford.
Something like that. Yeah, he got another one Saturday, so he looks
Glebe, I'm 100% record now, isn't it? So, yes, Sheppey and Chatham, after their disappointment, they need to bounce back this weekend. And otherwise, you know, Glebe can sort of look away to run away with it. So interesting times, yeah.
Yeah, results in Division 1 as well over the weekend. It was Chesterton Hook 0, Sutton Athletic 2, Croydon 3, Rochester United 2, FC Armstead 1, Staples Monarchs 3. Good win for Staples Monarchs. That to get them up the table. Faversham Strikeforce 2, Tooting Beck 4, Forest Hill Park 2, Snodland Town 1, Greenways 0, Westside 2, Larkfield and Newhythe 2, Lewisham Borough 2, Lidtown 3, Kent Football United 2, and I note a late winner there for young Brad Baker.
Yeah, he's doing well. He must have 5 or 6. It didn't work for him at Deal, really, but at this level, he's scoring goals, and the stronger he comes, maybe he wants to bounce back to that level. But yeah, he's a goal scorer, which is good to see.
Yes, Meridian VP 0, Stansfeld 1, and SC Thamesmead 1, Bride and Ropes 2 in that division. That leaves that table looking quite looking quite good down there. Stansfeld second, Sutton Athletic though third, 15 points from 5 games, and Croydon top have played 8 games already. So have Larkfield and Newhythe in fourth have also played 8 games. So we're already starting to see things starting to pick up a little bit, and Staples Monarchs moving up the table as well. All three of the new teams seem to be adjusting a little bit, which is good. Faversham Strikeforce got 6 points, Staples got 7, Larkfield have got 14. So still early days, a long, long way to go, but it's showing a bit of promise, Division 1, isn't it?
Yeah, I saw some of the Faversham Strikeforce, a couple of Dover from the Dover Academies boys, so getting out for games from that. Yeah, again, Sutton Athletic, 5 wins out of 5, 16 goals scored, so maybe they are the side. But Croydon as well. Can you love this? Everybody scored loads of goals, which is fantastic in this division. So, I don't really know too much about these sides. We need to get some of these sides on there, John, to talk about it. But Sutton Athletic, maybe the early favourites with the games in hand, they could be a bit of a nice way clear at the top.
Yes, Beckenham continued their good start to life in the Combined Counties League Premier Division South as they beat Shearwater 1-0. But for the most of our teams at that level, it's the FA Vars this weekend. So it starts on Friday when Canterbury City are at home to FC Elmstead in an all-scaffold tie. And then on Saturday, here we go. Deep breath, everybody. And Matt, I will be testing you on some places shortly. So we have got Balham against Tower Hamlets, Bearston against Fisher, Billingshurst against Forest Hill Park, Broadridge Heath against Croydon, Coggleshaw United against Glebe, Crawley Down Gatwick against Lewisham Borough, Eastbourne Town against Sheppey United, Eastbourne United against Bride and Ropes, Erith Town against SC Thamesmead, Greenways against Lidtown, which is listed as a 6 o'clock kickoff for some reason, K-Sports against Beckenham Town. That's probably why the Greenways game is a 6 o'clock kickoff, because then they can play that game first. Larkfield and Newhythe against Epsom and Ewell, Erith and Belvedere go to Lingfield, it's Lordswood against Storrington Community, Loxwood against Faversham Strikeforce, Oakwood against Wellington, Rustall against Crowborough Athletic, local derby there, Rochester United against Hollands and Blair, that's one as well, Stansfield at home to Bagshot, Staplehurst Monarchs against Sporting Bengal United, Sutton Athletic at home to Newhaven, Tunbridge Wells at home to Roffey, and Westside against Snodland Town. Any places there you've never heard of, Matt? Because there certainly were a few for me.
Coggleshaw United. Is that Hertfordshire?
Google Coggleshaw.
I did believe a drawn one match. I thought they had 100% record, didn't they? But they are
Essex. That is Coggleshaw, in between Colchester and Colchester and Braintree.
Where else are we looking?
Oakwood is, I'm sure they're Crawley sort of way. Loxwood's over in Sussex as well. Obviously,
Storrington Community.
That's a good one. They've picked out some good ones here, these lads, haven't they?
Yeah.
That looks to me to be over in the sort of Worthing sort of near Horsham. So that sort of way. So that's a long trip.
It's a bit of a trek though.
It is. That's a long way. And obviously both both Eastbourne teams at home to keep teams from the scaffold. So Sheppey United at Eastbourne Town, which is the one that's not by my house. Bride and Ropes away to Eastbourne United. Sheppey United fans, there's a lovely pub just down the road from Eastbourne Town's ground. And had it not been my big day on Saturday, I definitely would have been frequenting that pub after the game. And I would have gone to the game as well. But unfortunately, one of those things. I'll tell you the other team I was interested in, Matt, and the other place I was not sure about. Roffey Football Club. I've got no idea. They're in Horsham as well, but they are playing Tunbridge Wells.
I bet Roffey's really posh.
Yeah, and for you and I, Matt, that name will make us chuckle that they're playing Tunbridge Wells as well, won't it? Anyway,
Roffey, I reckon that's probably a conservative majority of 100,000 combined.
Yes, I would say so. There are some Premier Division fixtures on Saturday for some of our teams who don't go into the competition yet. Chatham Town play Holmesdale at home, and Punjab United against Deal Town. There's also a First Division game, Kent Football United against Chessington Hook. Then midweek fixtures in the FA Vars. There's no replays In the FA Vars, it's straight to extra time and penalties. So Monday night, K-Sports against Canterbury. Then Tuesday, Deal against Kennington. Erith and Belvedere against Punjab. Glebe against Tunbridge Wells. Hollands and Blair against Bearsted. Sheppey United against Lordswood. Wellington against Rustall. And then in the First Division, Chester and Hook against Lewisham Bar and Meridian VP against FC Elmstead. And then on Wednesday, Erith Town at home to Tower Hamlets. Holmesdale at home to Fisher. And then the First Division, then Faversham Strike Force against Kent Football United, Forest Hill Park against Tooting Beck, Lidtown against Rochester United, Snodland Town against Greenways, Sutton Athletic against Bride and Ropes, and West Side against Croydon. Whew, loads going on there in the scaffold.
I think Glebe v Tunbridge Wells should be a good game on Tuesday. And big weekend for our mate Steve King for Deal, you know. If they can get, you know, back-to-back wins here, well, carry on their good form. Punjab, which will be tough as well. Punjab could move up the table with a win there. It should be a good one. Then home to Kennington. Yeah, Deal could be top four by the end of it, which is fantastic. But Glebe v Tunbridge Wells, that's sounds a good game on paper, that one.
It really does. Are you going to Eastleigh on Tuesday?
I am going to Eastleigh, yeah.
I mean, you should go to one of these places, mate. You'll enjoy yourself much more.
Yeah, I'm just doing my farewell tour to the National League, mate.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, no further questions you want to. I wouldn't bother going to Barnet because you'll probably have to go there next season.
Yeah, that's true.
One bit of transfer news, actually, out of Beckenham Town. We were talking about them earlier, obviously doing their stuff in the Combined Counties League and doing very well so far. But they've signed Gary Alexander, the former Glebe manager, former Millwall striker. But they've signed him to play up front for them. And even at 42, in this week, I'm all for everybody being successful in their 40s. I still think he'll be able to cause some problems for teams in the Combined Counties League.
Oh, absolutely. You know, half a yard in his head, another cliche there. Yeah, I'm surprised. You know, I thought he was maybe want to get back into management, back playing. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on him. But yeah. He should be scoring goals at that level. Yeah, look out for him. And Beckenham doing well, John, moving away from our boys, our league, but they're doing okay.
Yes, and it'll be interesting to see how they get on when they play K-Sports in the Vars this weekend. Yeah. Anyway, I think we've been through every fixture. I think we've been through every result. That was quite a slog through that, but I don't think we've managed to forget anyone. But if we have, I'm really, really sorry. My mum and dad have just arrived to take me out for dinner, so that's nice. So I'm going to go very shortly. But Matt, before you go, got any plans for the weekend?
No, we're doing some decorating around the house. I'll be doing that, apart from going to be depressed from about 3 till 6.
Repeating it Tuesday.
Sorry?
And then repeating it Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's just, well, it was lovely weather today. So I'm working from home today. So we're doing this in my lunch break. But yeah, I think the weather's supposed to sort of turn a little bit. So I'm more concerned, what time are you leaving to get to Cornwall, John?
Well, we're stopping off in Swanage on the way on Thursday. So we're stopping in Swanage for a night. And that's kind of halfway. And then we're going on to Cornwall on Friday. So it's going to take our time. There's no real rush. We're going to get up probably early Friday, have our breakfast and get on the road. And then get to Cornwall and just chill out for a couple of days. And that's all I really want to do.
You'll be waking up early on your birthday to open all your presents.
Well, I'm thinking, should I go and do a park run? Because I haven't had the chance to do a park run for ages, but I've just got to decide if I'm going to do one or not. So I'll decide probably in the morning. 20 minutes away, so we shall see. Anyway, thank you everybody for listening. We'll speak to you all next week. Before that, of course, you can find us on Twitter at Kent NL Podcast. You can find us on Facebook as well. Search for Kent Only Podcast. I'm at JohnPhipps81. Matt is at Matthew_Gerard. Thank you, Matt, for managing to squeeze us in this week. And I'm looking forward to catching up with you next week when I'm going to be old, mate, I tell you. But thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll speak to you all next week.
Happy birthday to you, squash tomatoes and stew. You look like a monkey and you smell like one too. Happy birthday, mate.